Is physics incomplete? In 1980, Stephen Hawking helped to spark interest in a theory of everything with his lecture entitled, Is the End in Sight for Theoretical Physics? In which he said, We may see a complete theory within the lifetime of some of those present here. He claimed that there was a 50-50 chance that the final theory would be found in the next 20 years. But when the year 2000 arrived, and there was no consensus on the theory of everything, he changed his mind and said that there was a 50-50 chance of finding it in another 20 years. Then, in 2002, Hawking changed his mind once again, declaring that Gödel's incompleteness theorem may suggest a fatal flaw in his original line of thinking. He wrote, Some people will be very disappointed if there is not an ultimate theory that can be formulated as a finite number of principles. I used to belong to that camp, but I have changed my mind. Gödel's theorem ensured there would always be a job for mathematicians. I think M-theory will do the same for physicists. His argument is an old one. Since mathematics is incomplete and the language of physics is mathematics, there will always be true physical statements that are forever beyond our reach. And hence, a theory of everything is not possible. Since the incompleteness theorem killed off the Greek dream of proving all true statements in mathematics, it will also put a theory of everything forever beyond our reach. Freeman Dyson said it eloquently when he wrote, Gödel proved the world of pure mathematics is inexhaustible. No finite set of axioms and rules of inference can ever encompass the whole of mathematics. I hope that an analogous situation exists in the physical world. If my view of the future is correct, it means that the world of physics and astronomy is also inexhaustible. No matter how far we go into the future, there will always be new things happening, new information coming in, new worlds to explore, a constantly expanding domain of life, consciousness, and memory. Astrophysicist John Barrow summarizes this logic this way. Science is based on mathematics. Mathematics cannot discover all truths. Therefore, science cannot discover all truths. Such an argument may or may not be true, but there are potential flaws. Professional mathematicians, for the most part, ignore the incompleteness theorem in their work. This is because the incompleteness theorem begins by analyzing statements that refer to themselves. That is, they are self-referential. For example, statements like the following are paradoxical. This sentence is false. I am a liar. This statement cannot be proven. In the first case, if the sentence is true, it means it is false. If the sentence is false, then the statement is true. Likewise, if I am telling the truth, then I am telling a lie. And if I am telling a lie, then I am telling the truth. In the last case, if the sentence is true, then it cannot be proven to be true. The second statement is the famous liar's paradox. The Cretan philosopher Epimenides used to illustrate this paradox by saying, "All Cretans are liars." However, St. Paul missed the point entirely and wrote in his epistle to Titus, One of Crete's own prophets has said it, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. He has surely told the truth. The incompleteness theorem builds on statements such as, This sentence cannot be proven using the axioms of arithmetic, and creates a sophisticated web of these self-referential paradoxes. Hawking, however, uses the incompleteness theorem to show that a theory of everything cannot exist. He claims that the key to Gödel's incompleteness theorem is that mathematics is self-referential, and physics suffers from this disease as well. Since the observer cannot be separated from the observation process, it means that physics will always refer to itself, since we cannot leave the universe. In the final analysis, the observer is also made of atoms and molecules, and hence must be an integral part of the experiment he is performing. But there is a way to avoid Hawking's criticism. To avoid the paradoxes inherent in Gödel's theorem, Professional mathematicians today simply state that their work excludes all self-referential statements. They can then circumvent the incompleteness theorem. To a large degree, the explosive development of mathematics since Gödel's time has been accomplished simply by ignoring the incompleteness theorem. That is, by postulating that recent work makes no self-referential statements. In the same way, it may be possible to construct a theory of everything that can explain every known experiment independent of the observer-observed dichotomy. If such a theory of everything can explain everything from the origin of the Big Bang to the visible universe that we see around us, then it becomes academic how we describe the interaction between the observer and observed. In fact, one criterion for a theory of everything should be that its conclusions are totally independent of how we make the split between the observer and the observed. Furthermore, nature may be inexhaustible and limitless, even if it is based on a handful of principles. Consider a chess game. Ask an alien from another planet to figure out the rules of chess simply by watching the game. After a while, the alien can figure out how pawns, bishops, and kings move. The rules of the game are finite and simple. But the number of possible games is truly astronomical. In the same way, the rules of nature may also be finite and simple, but the applications of those rules may be inexhaustible. Our goal is to find the rules of physics. In some sense, we already have a complete theory of many phenomena. No one has ever seen a defect in Maxwell's equations for light. The standard model is often called a theory of almost everything. Assume for a moment that we can shut off gravity. Then, the standard model becomes a perfectly sound theory of all phenomena besides gravity. The theory may be ugly, but it works. Even in the presence of the incompleteness theorem, we have a perfectly reasonable theory of everything, besides gravity. To me, it is truly remarkable that on a single sheet of paper, one can write down the laws that govern all known physical phenomena, covering 43 orders of magnitude, from the farthest reaches of the cosmos, over 10 billion light-years away, to the micro-world of quarks and neutrinos. On that sheet of paper would be just two equations, Einstein's theory of gravity and the standard model. To me, this reveals the ultimate simplicity and harmony of nature at the fundamental level. The universe could have been perverse, random, or capricious, and yet it appears to us to be whole, coherent, and beautiful. Nobel laureate Steve Weinberg compares our search for a theory of everything to the search for the North Pole. For centuries, the ancient mariners worked with maps in which the North Pole was missing. All compass needles and charts pointed to this missing piece of the map, yet no one had actually visited it. In the same way, all our data and theories point to a theory of everything. It is the missing piece of our equations. There will always be things that are beyond our grasp, that are impossible to explore, such as the precise position of an electron, or the world existing beyond the reach of the speed of light. But the fundamental laws, I believe, are knowable and finite. And the coming years in physics could be the most exciting of all, as we explore the universe with a new generation of particle accelerators, space-based gravity wave detectors, and other technologies. We are not at the end, but at the beginning of a new physics. But whatever we find, there will always be new horizons continually awaiting us.